T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We have with us now, and we're happy to have him for a couple of minutes here, Mr. Jake Ballard. Jake, first of all, thanks for giving us a couple of minutes of your time. Greatly appreciated.
Yeah, of course. I appreciate you guys thinking of me and having me on.
Well, for sure. And obviously, we know from with the Super Bowl 46, you know, here you were out of Ohio State, but still out of Ohio State, and an undrafted free agent. You get drafted by the Giants in, what was it, 2010, and you had some practice squad experience. Maybe you're not going to ever get to be with the varsity, but as an undrafted free agent, you not only make the varsity, but you start in Super Bowl 46. And then what happened in the second half? I wonder if that knee is fully recovered as we speak right now.
Oh, you know, I did. I tore my ACL in the second half, 7 minutes to go in the game. Then I tried to run on the sidelines, create a little more cartilage damage. And the cartilage damage is pretty much what led to my retirement in the NFL. It never really was the same. Obviously, I went to New England after that, then finished up with the Cardinals. And during my fifth training camp with the Cardinals, I just had to call it quits. I just couldn't take the pain, and I wasn't performing like I used to, and I knew it was time to walk away.
Well, you're a Super Bowl champion, and that cannot be taken away. And you know, everyone knows that as the real estate agent, not everyone knows that you're a real estate agent. I saw a little bit of a bio with you before the program, so I know you're back in your home territory in Ohio, and you're selling real estate and getting around and thriving with your post-football career. Tell us what it was like, the buildup, for somebody like yourself. You can't speak for anyone else, per se. What was it like? Were you anxious? Were you nervous? Were you apprehensive? Give us an idea what you were feeling emotionally going into the Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think starting all year helped me try to keep my emotions in check that whole week of the Super Bowl. Since we were in Indianapolis, which wasn't too far from Ohio, it was real close to home and in familiar territory. And just the amount of excitement and the buildup of the Super Bowl, and then the fact that, you know, it's Giants versus Patriots again, and then we faced them earlier in the season. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a lot riding. And there wasn't a guy in our locker room that thought we weren't going to win that game. I don't even think I could sleep the night before. I think I had to take a lot of melatonin to even get any kind of sleep. But just when we got to the stadium and got through warm-ups, it was very surreal. You know, every kid who plays football dreams of playing in the Super Bowl. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to play for the Giants. And I had a lot of pride in playing for the Giants. And, you know, I'm just glad, you know, we did take care of business in that game, because if, you know, I had a career-ending injury in the game, and if we would have lost, it definitely would not have been a sweep.
Yeah, and of course, in the first half, I mean, before the torn ACL, you had a couple of catches for a couple of yards, not making much of a difference, but you did touch on a game earlier in the season in Foxborough in which you made a major difference in the outcome with the Giants winning. You caught a 28-yard pass, I think, on some 3rd and 10 with 51 seconds to go. You caught a 1-yard touchdown catch with 17 seconds left to go in the game, and the Giants beat New England that day 24-20. So you had your moments, that's for sure, against the Patriots.
Oh, yeah, and I think we were, you know, I probably had 5 or 6 catches that game. And it seemed like we were just battling back and forth. It seemed like, you know, Gronk was doing his thing, and they had a ton of great players, and even, you know, Aaron Hernandez was adding on his, you know, making plays in his area of expertise. But yeah, I think it was third and probably 12. Actually, I think it was more than 10. And I just ran a little seam. We knew we needed to make a play, and made the play, and ended up catching the game-winning touchdown as well. And that's definitely a feeling I'll never forget, and going into that locker room and celebrating with those guys in Foxborough.
And we love this. You had another in 2011, and you had a terrific game in Week 14 against America's team, didn't you? You caught an 8-yard touchdown pass from Eli Manning, and you beat Dallas.
Yeah, we beat Dallas in Dallas at Jerry's World. I had a couple of big catches that game, and just adding to, you know, Eli's legacy with another fourth quarter comeback. Everybody played great in that game, and that was definitely another. I think I got a game ball for that game as well.
Beating America's team,
right? And you know, me being, you know, a child, you know, I was born in the late '80s, but growing up in the '90s, it's all he ever talked about was the Cowboys. So going down there and beating them—that's definitely a memory I'll never forget. And another one was, or after that game, I think I talked to Troy Aikman, and you know, and he told me he was a big fan of me and he enjoyed watching me play. So that was pretty cool full circle moment.
Yeah, and it's now the situation is that if you're a former a Cowboy quarterback, you become a broadcaster. I think Tony Romo is a better broadcaster than he was quarterback.
I mean, he's hard to beat right now, that's for sure.
So let me ask you something. With all the distractions, with everything that goes on before the Super Bowl, how do you handle that and maintain your focus and concentration with what you got to do with the game coming up?
You know, I think you got, for younger guys, I think they need to lean on some of the older guys who maybe have been there before, or lean on the coaches and not lose focus of what you're there for. Eli told us early in the week, actually before we even left Jersey, he's like, look, guys, there's going to be a lot of distractions. There's going to be a lot of things going on. A lot of people thinking about going to parties. But listen, we don't need any of that stuff. We don't need parties. The real party, we'll have the real party after we win the damn football game.
Was there something about the whole dynamic? I mean, obviously, being a part of the Super Bowl and playing in it and becoming a champion with the Giants beating and with the Patriots. Was there something, anything, about the whole experience that you wouldn't want to go through again?
Man, you know, I don't think, I mean, besides the injury, nothing really, no. I think everything worked out how it was supposed to, and all that hard work going through my first year with up and down off the practice squad and grinding it out through camp when, you know, Kevin Boston signed back and then getting to the Super Bowl and that whole week, I think we just got hot at the right time of the season and no one really wanted to play us.
All right, let me ask you about what has been, and you know this to be the case, you're watching the NFL, the officiating. We have spent, since a week ago Sunday, since the championship games, you know what we've been talking about. Yes, you're sure we've been talking a little bit about overtime rules, of course, with those who lost money on those two teams that lost their respective championship games in overtime. But the officials, what can we do about the kind of call, the most egregious call, and you know from the pass interference, it could have been pass interference, it could have been defenseless receiver, it could have been helmet to helmet. There were a number of choices there. Not a flag was thrown, and it decided the game. What can be done? What do you think can be done, if anything, with the bad officiating?
Well, one thing is clear. Something needs to be done. The question for me seems above my pay grade. I think they have to get more defined on what those penalties actually are, and they're going to need to watch a lot of film this offseason, and they're going to have to make more plays reviewable to make sure they do get it right. I mean, you're talking about the whole state upset because they should be going to the Super Bowl instead of the Rams.
Yeah. See, my take, and we're talking with Jake Ballard, former tight end for the New York Football Giants, and certainly did his share of winning for the New York Football Giants the Super Bowl 46, that 21-17 win over New England. Jake, my take is doesn't care what any of us think. They are the ultimate with smug, and they are the ultimate with the arrogance. And they could easily, they know they got you hooked. They know they have their audience, which is just about everybody in America. They had everybody at hello. And whether the officiating is bad, I don't think it matters in terms of viewership or, you know, excitement. We're all going to watch the Super Bowl. And I'm beginning to think, of course, that if we do watch the Super Bowl, we're going to be looking at the Rams as much as the Patriots, as much as the officiating. And in the NFL, I think, has the attitude, if you don't like our game, if you don't like our officials, turn off the TV or sell your ticket or mow your lawn on a given Sunday. What do you think?
I couldn't agree more. The fact that Roger Goodell didn't come out and really say anything much about it until the Super Bowl, where he tells you all you need to know. It's the same way they treat players. They know that, you know, players will come and go, but the brand and the shield is going to be there for the long haul.
Sure.
So they don't really need to answer to anybody.
And don't.
Like I said, I don't think they're going to lose any sleep, but I do think they will try and correct it, make it a better product. But like you said, it's not going to keep people from watching or placing bets on the game.
Yeah, and I don't know what you could do. What do you think you could do, if anything, to improve the officiating? I mean, you could go to the videotape. You can go under the hood. You can go to New York. You could have another official, just a video official to officiate some of the officials officiating on the field. I mean, I don't think it would matter at all if you added an official or tried to make any adjustment at all, because there's still no guarantee they would be getting it right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're 100% right. Any of those scenarios or solutions, I still don't think it's going to eliminate the mistakes by the referees.
What do you think the NFL does enough for former players in terms of the concussion business, in terms of player health and well-being, for not only players that are playing but also former players like yourself?
You know, they do have certain programs in place, and when you're in the NFL, they tell you, you know, we have all these things in place, whether it's line of duty or neurocognitive test or, you know, certain benefits to guys who are vested. But it seems like a lot of guys I know, when they do get out, they make them very hard to actually achieve and get those plans in place. And I do not think the NFL does a good enough job taking care of retired players by any means of the imagination. I mean, guys are putting their bodies on the line for years for these teams. And, you know, you get health insurance for 5 years after you retire, then you're on the street. And you got to find it or pay out of pocket. And I just don't think that's necessarily the right thing to do. I think that should be a huge topic of discussion for this next CBA in a couple of years.
Agreed. We were talking about this earlier in the program, Jake, and again, we're talking with Jake Ballard, starting tight end for the New York Football Giants, Super Bowl 46, tore the ACL in the second half. So obviously, that is something that impaired Jake from doing any more that he could do in that game. He caught, I believe, what, 2 passes for 10 yards in that game in the first half. And I guess you were doing your share of blocking. You certainly are big enough. What were you, 6'6", 275? So you had to be pushing some people around.
Yeah, I was definitely holding the line of scrimmage. And you know, Gil Bride and Kaufman, they liked the fact that they had a tight end who could catch the ball and run downfield and also could, you know, run power and inside zone. So, yeah, I was banging heads with some D linemen quite a bit in that game.
Let me ask you something, and I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. So and whatever answer you give us, you know we're going to accept. That's for sure. You think Eli Manning should retire?
I do not. And I do, and I don't think that's a biased answer. I think he's hasn't had the best protection over the last couple of years. Uh-huh. I think he still has some in the tank. I actually would like to see the Giants kind of solidify the offensive line this offseason, and I wouldn't mind seeing the Giants draft my guy over at Ohio State and Dwayne Haskins, because he's something special, and I think he's going to be a big play quarterback in the future, and there's nobody else I could think to learn from and sit behind with than Eli Manning.
A fellow Buckeye.
Yes, sir.
And you think he'll make the adjustment to the pro? He's right now, I mean, as far as most of the so-called experts are concerned, he's basically your number one quarterback coming out of college and coming in and should be the first quarterback drafted. And the Giants, of course, are drafting number six. However, somebody may be moving ahead of the Giants to get him also.
This is true. I mean, I do think he'll adapt well to the NFL game. His Ryan Day, who had some NFL experience, has been working with him for 2 years. And he came out his first year and did great. And he's a very humble kid, seems very smart, carries himself very well. Mm-hmm. And I think it'd be a shame if he just got thrown in right away. But I think he would succeed if that was the case. But I could see him kind of sitting back behind somebody for a year or two, kind of like, you know, Aaron Rodgers or Carson Palmer did, and then really just taken off from there.
All right, but you're on record for saying that, and you're not alone. A lot of Giants fans are certainly happy to hear that it looks right now that Eli Manning will be starting 2019. There are other Giants fans, of course, who think that Eli should move on or should, if he is going to be around in 2019, basically to tutor and or mentor a young quarterback, because the backup quarterback really has no future, it looks like, in the NFL. And with the Kyle Lauletta, the kid they drafted out of Michigan, he's had some off-the-field issues. He did get a chance to play a few minutes, didn't look very good. So the Giants definitely need to get themselves quarterback. But here's the problem. They have some issues mainly on the defensive side of the football. So if the Giants were to stay where they are at number six. Yeah, if they stay where they are, I mean, do they draft a quarterback or do they draft a pass rusher or a linebacker or somebody for their secondary? What would you do if you were the GM?
Well, I don't know. I'm hoping Dwayne's there by six, but like you said, I could see somebody else trading up to get him. I think you've got to take the best available. So, and for me, I think you got to kind of probably solidify a nice linebacker or edge rusher. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, my other Buckeye, Nick Bosa, won't be down that far either.
Yeah, right. No, you have are you a fan of the coach? The coach is now going to be teaching a class at Ohio State on
Urban. Urban Meyer's done a great job at Ohio State, and he's a great coach, and he gets guys ready for the NFL and wins games.
The guy is lucky he still has a job. What are you saying?
You know, I think there are a lot of facts kind of left out. I don't think it was a tough situation all the way around. And
you don't find some irony that he's going to be sticking around at Ohio State teaching what, character and ethics?
Oh, I don't even know if he really. I mean, I've heard that he's going to be teaching a class, but I'll believe that when I when I see it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and here's the thing. Let's before we let you go, we can't thank you enough, Jake, for giving us some very candid answers and also a few minutes of your time. That's for sure. Who do you like this Sunday?
You know, I got friends on both teams, but looking at it, I think the Rams will have their hands full with the Pats, and I would not be surprised if the Patriots take this thing this year.
And do you think they're going to be? Do you think Jared Goff is going to be looking at some defensive schemes at some fronts that might confuse him? Do you think with Belichick having 2 weeks to prepare with a young quarterback, what do you think Jared Goff is going to be looking at?
Well, if I was involved in the offensive meeting rooms, one thing Belichick does a great job at is, you know, game planning for the teams. They don't, you know, they change it up every week based on who they're playing and their weaknesses. So he's going to get the whole kitchen sink thrown at him, and Belichick's going to put his game plan together based on what was successful against it. What was the successful against their offense in the season? So, if I were Sam, I'd be looking at all the bad plays we have and what we didn't do great at, and expect to see those coverages and fronts and blitzes.
Give us a score.
Oh, I am going to say 31-27 Pats.
Okay, so we're going to remember that, and we'll see if you're right about that, and certainly. We can't thank you enough for giving us, again, a couple of minutes of your time, and the best to you and your family, the whole thing already, and good luck with your real estate. Sell lots of property and make lots of money.
All right. Well, I appreciate it.
You got it. All right. Thank you, Jake. Jake Ballard, former tight end with the New York Football Giants, and started the game. With Super Bowl 46, and in that second half, tore that ACL, and that pretty much was the end of the career, although he ended up playing for the Patriots for a season, and then after that, the Arizona Cardinals, and then hanging it up and getting himself into real estate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.